All right, continuing the afternoon here in Zurich with the European Gold Forum, and we're going to take a special turn into, majority into Africa. We're going to talk with Fortuna Silver Mines and CEO Jorge Ganosa. Jorge, it's nice to see you in person. We've never done this in person, I don't think, so pleasure to see you. You just put out your quarterly production numbers, solid numbers again. Séguéla continues to be just a really great asset for you to have on your books. I mean, general sense of what you're seeing in Q1 on the backs of a very productive 2023.
Trevor, thanks for the opportunity again to speak to your audience. You know, all the mines in the portfolio performed well in Q1, and yes, Séguéla continues to drive performance. The mine, it's on its third quarter of production in Q1. But you know, the business is doing just really well. Just as a small recap, on the third quarter of the year, 2023 was the first quarter of production for our new mine. We generated $70 million of free cash flow from ongoing operations. The following quarter, Q4, we generated $66 million of free cash flow. And you know, we're looking for another strong quarter in this Q1. Production has been a bit light compared to the previous quarters, 112,000 ounces of gold equivalent. It's slightly lower than what we had in Q4 and Q3, but well within our plans to meet guidance for the year, which is around 480,000 ounces.
What do you attribute the slowness to?
It's just the grade profile. You know, it's how the mines are scheduled, how we travel through the reserves in the mine plans.
Yeah, I think the grade compared to Q4 was lower, but your throughput was
higher.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. At the Séguéla mine, we had lower grades. That's just now when I say lower grades, lower compared to the previous quarter, but still within, well within what we have in the reserve inventory, right? So
right.
No surprises.
Right. Okay. And you're putting a lot of this cash flow right to work. You put $40 million paying back some of that debt that you have on the books. How much debt do you have left to clear that out?
About $130 million right now. But, you know, more importantly, the capital allocation plan that we have continues to be consistent. Mm-hmm. In the third quarter last year, we paid $40 million. In the fourth quarter, 41. This Q1, we followed with another $40 million payment towards our facility. You know, this year we're going to be net cash positive. We're not a highly leveraged company.
Right.
Our debt to EBITDA ratio, which is a key measure for the gearing of the business, is a very low 0.2. Covenants in the facility are 3.
Mm-hmm.
No? 3-1, we're at 0.2-1. So we're not a highly leveraged company, but we believe a mining company should be run with a fortress balance sheet.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to put in place, right? And what a great time right now to be delivering ounces into the market in this rising gold price, silver price environment, right?
Right.
Just as we sold gold in the fourth quarter at an average realized price of $1,990. I can advance to you that in Q1 we realized $2,084, and we know that today
it's a little higher.
Gold is trading at $2,365 this morning.
$2,388 front month futures basis.
Yes.
It made another new all-time high.
Yes.
So it's just incredible. So your margins, obviously, your margins are continuing to expand here. You know, one of the big conversations in the main stage here this morning was really about those margins. Obviously, it's nice to see a rising gold price, but there is concerns that inflationary pressures will be back, and you have to really follow the input costs as well. Are you seeing your input costs rise at all in Q1 and into Q2?
I think there are two aspects to that, and that is a pivotal conversation
right.
to the industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
thanks to the rising gold silver price, we're seeing expansion of the margins. The question is, how efficient are we going to be in keeping a lead on cost? Over the last couple of years, we've seen inflation across sectors, industries, and mining has not been immune at all to that. But also the mining industry has structural bottlenecks. There is not enough human capital. Manufacturing of equipment. In a rising price environment, everybody and their dog might want to start building their mine, right? And we're going to start encountering that, you know, finding that there are not sufficient, there's not sufficient trained personnel to build mines, bottlenecks on the manufacturing lines for the equipment that we use, for the consumables, tires, and all of that. Mm-hmm. We've seen that, this in the past. This is a business that has structural bottlenecks. And if we see a big push for the development of new deposits and whatnot with these rising commodity prices, we are going to start encountering those bottlenecks as well that drive price high, mm-hmm. right? So in Fortuna's case, we've been counter-cyclical and we've been building the mine when it was unpopular to build a mine.
Yeah.
No? So we can be here today harvesting, and that's important to us, and that's something I want to highlight. You know, we did the hard work over the past 2 years, right? And it was painful, right? It was very painful in the market because investors were risk averse. There was no money coming in to fund, or no one really paying attention. But right now, we're in a very comfortable position. But no doubt that the big thing for all of us running mines is keeping a lid on cost and keeping those margins healthy. In 2011, which was the peak of prices out of that bull run that started in early 2000s, mm-hmm. we were producing mainly silver at the time. Our AISC, all-in sustaining cost per silver ounce, was around $10. And we were still selling silver at $30. Mm-hmm. You know, today silver is trading at $27. But what's the average ASIC for the silver miners? You know, it's what's in the 20s.
What's your ASIC right now?
You know, production? We are today more a gold producer, so right. our ASIC is $1,500 in that range. And, you know, we were selling gold at $1,800, $1,900 only a few months back.
Yeah.
No, so we're seeing the margin expansion right now coming in on, over the last few months. But so... The global the ASIC for the global gold mining industry today travels at around $1,400 per ounce.
Yeah, no, obviously rising. And there's a really interesting slide in the keynote this morning about the rising costs and of gold production. And I think a couple months ago, the last time you and I chatted, Jorge, was I asked you the same question about the cost for your silver production. I mean, how profitable are your silver assets right now? I mean, silver's obviously having a nice run, but is that kind of taking some of that pressure off some of those projects?
Yeah,
as well?
Yes, undoubtedly. But, you know, today our lowest cost mines in the portfolio are the gold mines.
Sure.
We're benefiting on every asset. So on the average, if I do a bit of alchemy and convert silver to gold and everything, my average, my ASIC, travels around $1,500.
Okay.
On an, a gold equivalent basic. So, we're benefiting handsomely from those nice prices we're seeing these days. But that, the challenge is margin.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to start seeing more interest coming into the sector as margins continue to expand. I think the general investors are not paying attention yet. I've been in the mining sector all my life and in public markets since the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a few of these cycles. And it's about margins. And once we start seeing those margins and the cash flow generation, attention will come back to the sector.
Yeah, I mean, couple of years ago, you took that strategic gamble, I guess you could say, moving into West Africa, purchasing the Séguéla asset, and the market question.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, has that, I guess, constructive criticism calmed now that it's up and producing and they're starting to see?
Yes, because the observations, the questions were legitimate, no? Where are you going to be able to successfully integrate a West African business? Are you going to be able to successfully build in a region where you have not built before? And those are legitimate concerns, and everything aggravated by the fact that all of this was taking place in a market where investors were risk averse,
yeah.
Right? A lot of companies were postponing capital projects, and we were not only doing an aggressive transaction in a different region, but also tackling a construction project at the time. So it was difficult, and the concerns were legitimate. And I think that what we done over the last 24 months is address that and deliver. The Séguéla construction was successfully delivered on time, on budget. We could have not done that if the integration of the West African business wasn't successful as well, right? And today we see the growth in West Africa, right? Or immediate growth is in West Africa. So it's been a good move. Strategically, it sets the company for the future. And you know, we still pursue opportunities in Latin America, but certainly there is more competition there today than what we see in West Africa.
Well, and there's more competition growing in West Africa now. I mean, it certainly has been the hotbed from Burkina Faso down to Ivory Coast and to Ghana. I mean, right, it's so, now we're back into what appears to be another bull market in precious metals. And so that competition's only going to get stiffer because those costs per ounce of gold in West Africa are usually pretty competitive.
Yes, it's one of the most competitive jurisdictions. Is one of the places where you can most efficiently, effectively, with the shortest timelines,
right,
deliver a permit a project. And that doesn't mean cutting corners. But the host governments want to see a flourishing mining industry. They see value in that. So if you're responsible miners, the reception is very well, very good, yeah. Very good reception. And industry clusters, you know, if we look at what are the most successful mining companies over the last years, in that list, you will certainly see Randgold, eventually acquired by Barrick, and Endeavour Mining, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Those companies, you know, their playing ground is West Africa. And we see an opportunity there because we see a lot of the majors playing, and a lot of single asset developers, explorers, but the playing field of mid-sized producers is not well populated. So we see a strategic advantage for a company that produces 500,000 ounces like us.
Yeah. It's an interesting position Fortuna is in because, you know, traditionally you're a silver company. We know what happens with silver equities when the silver bull starts moving. And we've seen that in the last couple of weeks. In fact, I remember in PDAC in March, on a panel, somebody asked me, where do you see the most opportunity? And I said, silver equities, because that silver to gold ratio is expanding. Silver's starting to move, but the silver equities have not. But once they do, they really start going.
Yes, and but I'll tell you something from my perspective. You know, as an investor, the silver trade undoubtedly can be, you know, wildly profitable. It's about timing.
Oh, yes.
Right? And stay in power sometimes because it takes a while for the thesis to prove right, right? But as an investor, you can do that. No, you can try to play that silver card in the sector. But I think of this as a wavelength, the price cycle, the full price cycle, and the silver goes wild only, let's say, on 20% of the time. Throughout the cycle, throughout the precious metals price cycle, the silver goes wild 10, 15, perhaps 20% of the time. The other 80, 85% of the time, gold outperforms silver.
Mm-hmm.
So from the perspective of a miner, I cannot time the market. I'm mining in a good day and in a bad day and in a very bad day as well. So from the perspective of someone who has to run mines, I like the silver. I like the silver kicker, but I get the stability with the gold. Yeah. So that's why you see most meaningful silver producers eventually gravitating towards gold.
Yeah.
You know, Pan American Silver, Fresnillo, you know. As you grow, you end up undoubtedly acquiring more gold assets in the portfolio, and that has been our journey as well.
Are you looking to acquire more?
I am agnostic silver gold. What I want to see is what provides the better returns. So we look for silver opportunities with the same enthusiasm we look at gold opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I choose? The one that offers me long-term better exploration potential, better potential for returns. I don't think strategically let's play the silver angle of this on, with this asset. We don't see it like that because we have to take a longer term view.
Yeah, well, right? What about your diversifying your jurisdictional risk in the portfolio? You're working in Latin America, you're working in West Africa. Like, would you look in Americas or somewhere else in the world?
But you know, for me, mining has always been a frontier business, and we play in the frontier.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we talk about diversifying risk. I'll ask you, I was talking with a group that is developing an asset in North America, and a really good asset, and I speak with them about the timelines for permitting, and they're saying, yeah, you know, I think that by 2027 or 2028, we could be in a position to, okay, so, I mean, it's a good asset, exciting asset, but those are the timelines for permitting in most of the parts in North America. Not all, but most.
Right.
In West Africa, I can permit in 18 months.
No, I
18, 24 months.
Every country has its risk, right?
Yeah, now, I have to take on other risks.
Right.
But we have the tolerance, the expertise in the team to manage that complexity. So it's a different set of challenges that we have. No, but I can tell you one thing, even though Fortuna is established, all the jurisdictions, all the countries where we're established are places that are welcoming for mining. Longer term, all of them are welcoming for mining, welcoming to mining investment, responsible mining investment. So, yeah, you have to have the tolerance for the eventual coup or something like that, yes. But again, we are designed and structured to manage that complexity, right?
Yes, yes. So give us a kind of a lay of the land for the rest of this year. Obviously, more production numbers. There's expansion available. You know, where else? What else are
you know, the high value opportunities for us in the portfolio reside on the exploration. Today, this year, we have our largest ever exploration budget, $40 million that are going to fund about over 200,000 meters of drilling.
That's like an ongoing number, 40 million. Just 40 million, yes. 40 million there.
40 million on the debt facilities, 40 million on the exploration. But we are very excited about the Ambasud. Mm-hmm. Which is a company we acquired in Cesar is a company we acquired in 2023 in September of 2023, and it comes that acquisition through acquiring Cesar, we got our hands on the Ambasud, which is an exciting gold project at the core of one of the most prolific gold belts in West Africa. It's a belt is the Mali Senegalese shear zone, which hosts mines like Lulo, Gunkoto in the Barrick portfolio, or Fekola in the B2 Gold portfolio.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
of those are half a million ounce producers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we the Ambasud sits at the core of that area on the Senegalese side. And we have a 45,000 meter drill program, $11 million allocated to that. And then Séguéla in the Ivory Coast continues to give. We just announced the discovery of another, the emergence of another prospect in the property. It's named Kingfisher, and it's looking exciting. Good grades near surface. So hopefully by year end we can have another emerging deposit at Kingfisher, adding ounces to our resource inventory.
Very good. It's going to be an exciting year. We'll be touching base here again before the conclusion, maybe later this summer here. Jorge, but thanks so much for time. It's good.
Thank
good
you, Joe.
All right. That's your update from Fortuna Silver, everybody. They do trade on the NYSE with FSM and on the TSX with FVI.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.